Well, it's a privilege again to share the word this morning, and I'm so happy and nervous because my mom is here. She doesn't have a clue what I'm saying right now, but estoy diciendo algo bueno. I'm saying something good. Don't worry about it. anyway, so it's special because I need this. More higher. I'm not gonna fall or something. We're good? I move. That's why. I'm getting ready here. yesterday I came to do some things here, help move things around and get ready for today. And every time I do that, and I was by myself, and I was like, man, I can't believe I'm doing this. Like, it's so amazing, and I'm so pleased, and I'm so happy, and I have joy doing this. You know what I mean? Like, when you're doing something, you just do it. You don't care what you're doing, you just do it. And then when I was studying in our office, I'm like, man, this is so cool. And this is a gym. But we put all these things so we can worship together, and now it's a gathering. You know, it's like community. And so it's so amazing, and again, I just want to say it out there, like, I'm so happy. It's almost been, 6 months now? Almost 7 months now? And so it's been so quick, right? So fast. Time just flies. And so anyways, I just want to say that up front because truly I'm so thankful because I'm here. And then anyways, let's get into the preaching this morning. And I'm going to be preaching on chapter 12 of John. And the title there, I don't know if this makes sense in English or no, but, it was there. It's called perfume. How many of you like perfumes? Yeah? How many of you? I'm not going to ask you what's the most expensive perfume you have. But I have one, and my wife just left. So that's good. My one day, she showed up with a... I love perfume. I like perfumes. I don't love perfume. I like perfumes. I try not to get expensive stuff because I don't really appreciate yet that. But one day, we went out for an outing and with my wife and a dating. We were on a date, and we got into Holt Renfrew or whatever it's called. Oh, so yeah. There you go. You know where that is. You know the address. Put it on maps, and maps says, yeah, I know where I'm going. Anyways, so that place is amazing, right? So we were doing this, and we saw the prices, and I'm going, wow, that's crazy. And there was a particular one that I said I loved. But I just said it, you know, like, yeah, me gusta mucho este perfume. And then, so I love that perfume. I love the smell and stuff. So it was good. And it was an Hermes, and that H there. I didn't know anything about that perfume. I just liked it. It's kind of expensive. Not like one of the most expensive, but it's expensive for our social, para nuestra vida, for our. I don't even know how to explain that. Anyways, whatever. It's not that expensive, but it is expensive for us, and so for our family. And so when I saw it, I was like, "What? Did you buy this for me?" That was my first reaction. I remember it was a really good, you know, it was really good. But my mind went just, this is so expensive. Okay? So, anyways, I try to take care of it. Because it's inexpensive. One day, Alessia, I put it somewhere, and then Alessia had it in her hands, and I'm going, I'm not going to rush it. You know, you have children, right? Don't rush it because then they go, they know they're doing something. So I was like, hey, Alessia, what is that? You know, and I'm like, but anyways, perfumes are, they have a specific purpose, right? And it makes you happy. It makes you, your mood. Sometimes, you know, you had to choose like in summer you will use this, and winter you will use this. So I don't know, I'm not an expert on that. But when I'm reading this, I'm talking about, wow, this is something amazing. That when I was studying for this, you know, you get into the perfumes and how expensive they can get and all that. But anyways, so let's read John chapter 12. We're going to have it over there on the PowerPoint. Or you want to read it? I'm going to read NLT, just in case. And it says like this. 6 days before the Passover celebration began, Jesus arrived in Bethany, the home of Lazarus, the man he had raised from the dead. Amen? If you go back to chapter 11, you will find this, the whole story. And it's a really cool story. An amazing miracle and very important miracle that Jesus did in his ministry. A dinner was, verse 2, a dinner was prepared in Jesus' honor. Martha served, and Lazarus was among those who ate with him. Then Mary took a 12-ounce jar of expensive perfume made from essence of nard, and she anointed Jesus' feet with it, wiping his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance. But Judas Iscariot, the disciple who would soon betray him, said, this is crazy. That perfume was worth a year's wages. So he knew the smell. He knew, oh man, are you kidding me? This person is like doing this right now with this perfume on her man. Are you crazy? I'm just using that because that's been the first thing coming to my mind. But it can be any other one. Dior or whatever. Oh, wow. I can't believe I said that one. My wife will be proud of me. It would have been sold and the money given to the poor. 6. Not that he cared for the poor. He was a thief. And since he was in charge of the disciples' money, he often stole some for himself. Wow. Jesus replied, "Leave her alone. She did this in preparation for my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me." When all the people heard of Jesus' arrival, they flocked to see him and also to see Lazarus, the man Jesus had raised from the dead. Then the leading priest decided to kill Lazarus too, for it was because of him that many of the people had deserted them and believed in Jesus. Let's pray this morning. Jesus, we praise you. We worship you this morning. We recognize that we need you. And today, Lord, we ask for your presence. And we ask that that you speak to us. And all the things, Lord, that you will remind us or teach us today, Lord, let us practice it as well to bear fruit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I have some slides after this once. This is one of the most expensive perfumes that is out there. I don't even know how to pronounce it anyways. Clive Christian's Imperial Majesty. You see the price? So, gentlemen, if you have that money, you can do that, you know. You can buy it if you want. Sell the house. And then, anyway, so that's kind of like some information. And when I saw that price, I'm going, what? Wow, it's expensive. But I think, you know what, the interesting is, it's not just the perfume itself, like the liquid inside. It's about the outside as well. You know what I mean? So it has so much outside. So basically when you put in it, let me see if I find it. Sorry? The bottle. Oh, my gosh. I'm forgetting my English. So the bottle, it's really expensive as well. So you can actually sell and probably going to go like 100,000, just the bottle. You know, like it's that crazy, right? So I just put it out there. You can read it. That's fine. This gold in it, 18 karat gold. That's crazy. So, there's a lot of stuff on there. And if we can go to the other one, this is the plan, the nard that the verse is talking about, and it's so interesting, right? And it's a valuable, genuine nard. The pound of ointment will have cost about 300 denarii. Its high cost means it had likely been in Mary's family for quite some time, and it was used only in small portions. Only in small portions. But what she did, who remembers what happened? What happened there? She put it all, right? Nard was made from a root and likely was imported from Nepal, the nearest major source of the product at the time, right? So we're talking about something very, very special. And if you have it at the time, you had it at the time, it would be passed by generation because you will use it just a little bit of it. I'm just giving you some information here. So we're talking about the Passover as well, which was one of the most important holidays on the Jewish calendar. It was set aside as a time for recalling how God had rescued the Israelites from slavery in Egypt, to celebrate the Jewish people. They will eat a meal similar to the one their ancestors ate when they prepared to leave Egypt. People traveled to Jerusalem from throughout the land of Israel to celebrate this annual festival. So, also in verse 7, there's the preparation for burial. Jesus seems to confirm that the nard was traditionally used in burial preparations of the time. He recognizes that he will die soon, right? And then verse 8, he mentions that the poor they will with you always. Although Jesus had emphasized that the need for his disciples to care for the poor, he explains that he should be their focus, especially in these days prior to his death, right? Just gonna give you some info in there before I go into something that spoke to me as well. So today I just want to focus on Mary's attitude towards Jesus and the use of the perfume as a symbolic way to worship Jesus. I want to start with a question. What will you do to show Jesus that you love him? It's a simple question. What ways or resources will you use to do it? Because we can say, Jesus, I love you, right? But what am I doing with my life to show him that? God knows our hearts, right? But some other people as well, they will see, oh, you know what, this man is different than the others. Or this man does this. So because people see in us what's inside of us sometimes with our actions. So what will you do to show Jesus that you love him? Not for recognition, not for, hey, oh, Marco is doing this, or Marco is doing that because whatever, you know. We do it because we love Jesus. Now, worship always costs something. Always. And I want to go through three things this morning. Experiences. When I think about worship, I always think about this event in Jesus' life. There are some aspects of this episode in Jesus' life before his death and resurrection that speaks to me and challenge me to truly worship him. The first thing that I want to talk about is the attitude, if we go to probably the last one, that one. Oops, sorry. We're going to see the three things that we're going to talk this morning. One of the things that, you know, I was, well, when I think I started leading worship when I was, probably 15, 16 years old. And to be honest, and I keep telling the youth this when we have the chance to talk about worship and all these things on Wednesday nights, I was doing things because nobody was doing it within the church. The worship leader, the worship team left the church back then. We're talking about 1994 World Cup. I can remember that. Anyway, so I started leading worship back about then with my sister. We didn't know anything about music. The worship team left. So my dad started leading worship as he was preaching as well that Sunday. And in fact, services back then, they were not 2 hours. They were 3 or 4 hours. It all depends. So my dad will preach an hour for sure. And I needed to be sitting right here. And if I behaved and not in a good manner, I will be sitting over there. One time, I was my dad was preaching, and I was with the children ministry, you know, Sunday school and all this. And I remember, I don't know what happened. I did something wrong. I did something bad. And then we call sisters and brothers over there. We don't call, hey, Paul. We call brother. Hermano or hermana. And so, I think she was tired. She was, that's what I say. But the teacher was really, really upset with me. And she said, go inside the church and just go up there. Go with your dad. That's what he said. That's what she said. So I went, my dad was preaching. And I went on the side of the chairs all the way. In the middle of the preaching, my dad saw me coming in like this. Anyways, then he started preaching. So that was really, really crazy, eh? I knew and I felt this area, especially, it will be blessed after, you know, all the service. What I'm trying to communicate here is I didn't understand what I was doing, really. I was singing, I was playing the guitar, and I didn't understand really what I was doing. I think I was copying what other people been doing for a while, you know, within the church. But I've heard this. The worship team, every time they will finish with the worship, they will go outside, they will sit and drink Coca-Colas or go to the store and come back before my dad finishes his preaching so they can go back and lead worship. And so I said, I'm not going to be one of those. I don't know. I was not a Christian, for sure. But I decided in my heart, I'm not going to do the same thing. For some reason, I just thought about that. And after that, I started leading worship within the church. I didn't have really a relationship with God. I was just, like I said, I was just doing it. Because that's something that I was there to do. And I didn't want my dad to keep doing it. Because he was like, he was leading worship with the same songs and hymns and stuff like that. So I said, you know what? And my sister and I, we started just helping my dad. It just came out. And the attitude that Mary had is like she was shameless and brave. She did not focus on the fact that her actions were not appropriate for a respectful woman in those days. For instance, if you were to pour oil on someone, it wouldn't be on the person's feet. It would be on the head. Also, if you were considered a respectable woman, you couldn't let your hair down in public, but she did that anyway. The perfume Mary used was and it was only used for special occasions. Usual burial practices. So it was only for that. And then she took this opportunity to give him, Jesus, recognition and respect for Jesus. What Mary did to Jesus was truly a loving act of worship. Amen? The one who resurrected her brother was coming in again with they knew it was Jesus. She thought it was a good opportunity to show Jesus how grateful and happy she was for what he did for her brother, bringing Lazarus to life after being dead for days. She was thankful and prepared something special for Jesus in a shameless and brave way to honor Jesus. Have you ever done something brave? Have you ever done something shameless? Have you ever been in a situation like you didn't care, you just did it for God's glory, you know? And then afterwards, you go back to it and you went, how did I do that? That's crazy. Why? You know, why did I say that? You know? I've been there. Get you back, and you go back to it, I'm like, oh, no, they're not even going to speak to me anymore. They're going to talk to me anymore because, oh, my gosh, why did I do that? Right? So Mary did this. The second thing I want to communicate today is that Mary was unique in how she showed her affection toward Jesus. So I want to share a little story. I remember one day in church, we were in the middle of the worship time. Especially, it was a slow song, so it was more quieter. You know, it was more like solemne. I don't know how to say that in English. Solemn? There you go. Thank you. So the music was going on and the congregation singing, and I was playing the drums. And all of a sudden, a man from the congregation yells from the top of his lungs like this.
He probably was, I can remember. He was over, I was playing
drums over there, and he was over there in the middle of the church, and he yelled, "Hallelujah!" In the middle of a slow song, again, and I was playing drums, and I'm going, you know, like, after that, I didn't get scared. The whole church started worshiping God like, whew, like everyone got into it. And the Holy Spirit just came through, and everybody started worship more and more. And it wasn't loud. It was not quiet after that. It was louder. With tears in his eyes and lifting his hands, I will never forget this man because he was a typically quiet and reserved man. It took us by surprise because during the worship time, he was always quiet. He used to come every Sunday to my dad's church in a blue Chevrolet truck with his wife in a big Bible under his arm. I remember. And so when the service finished, my dad asked him, "What happened? What happened to you? You know, it's not characteristic of you. You're yelling like this in the middle of the worship." And he said, "Well, I just needed to say it. It just came out. I didn't plan it. It's just, poof, in the middle of the song, I just, poof, it came out." When we love Jesus and when we are grateful, we will show it. It will just come out. We won't be able to hide it or contain it. We will put it out whenever and wherever we are or go. We have a special perfume within us, and it's as unique and special like this perfume. Many times, we could contain a special moment of worship just because of what people is going to say, or just because it's not characteristic of me doing these things or doing something radical. We have different ways to show affection, our love, our passion to God, even to our loved ones. Parenthesis. Paul did something interesting this morning. You said something really cool, and it goes here. You couldn't contain your love for her, and you said, and you did it. And I saw your face, and I'm going, that's what I'm talking about. You can't contain when you're talking about your loved one. You can't contain that. Your face, your whole self, it will just communicate that to others. I saw that. You know what I mean? I'm sure you will do that too. You know? It's in us. It's here. When you love something, it will come out. Have you ever talk to someone that loves hockey? I don't know why I feel my coming here. But have you ever heard someone talking about basketball or soccer? Talk to me about soccer and you will see something different about me. Not Germany defeated Mexico 1-0. I will never forget that. But, you know, when we love something, we will show it. And actually, people will see it. You know what I mean? Talk an Italian playing about soccer, right? Right, Jan? Yeah. We get into it. Our hands move. You know what I mean? When we worship something in life, our time and money goes there as well. The same thing happens when we worship God. If God is the center of our worship, then everything we do, everything we say will reflect our love towards God. We will show it somehow. It will just come out. Amen? What will you do to show Jesus that you love him? With your actions? With your resources? And finally, I just want to finish with this third point. She did something that nobody would have done with such an expensive perfume. Honestly, when I think about it, I'm going, I don't know. I mean, he resurrected my brother, but I love him. But maybe I'm going to get it cheaper because he's been from generations in my family. You know, or maybe just use water. You know what I mean? Ship it out somehow. Because sometimes we have this genuine thing to do, and then we start thinking about it. What if I, instead of doing that, I do this? And then we start thinking. And the pure moment, it just goes down. Because we're letting our flesh to take over. And that's the problem here with our lives sometimes. That God want to bless us. Or God is going to bless someone through you. And we go, I don't know. I'm gonna be busy probably. So we turn down the blessings that God has for people because we are not available sometimes. Mary was available. She prepared this, and this is something crazy that I'm going to do. They're probably going to kill me maybe. I don't know what's going to the outcome is going to go, but it's not going to be good probably. And then it's Jesus. You know what I mean? So it gets worse because a lot of people will follow him and everyone will know and hear this. And then she just pour out this worship towards Jesus, this affection, this love, extravagant love. This desire with Mary was bigger than any doubt. She did not care at all about the cost of the perfume and the cost of the judgment of the people around or what the customs of the day. Worship costs something in us. When we truly worship, demonstrates what's inside our hearts and minds. I'm going to ask the worship team to come. And I'm going to ask you something different this morning. I'm going to ask you to stand before we do the conclusion of this preaching this morning. I'm going to ask you to stand now, if you're able to do it, of course. It's nothing holier if you're standing or not. Because let's not be ashamed of our worship towards him. Start playing, Let's live an honest and pure life, bringing honor and praise to the one who gave it all for us, for our sins, to the one who gave the most expensive perfume of all time. Our best worship is the way we live our lives. Truly worship comes from a heart that is not hiding anything. before the King of Kings. This type of worship, honest and pure, one that does not care about the cost or what people may say. This is a pleasant perfume in God's presence. Jesus deserves our best perfume. Amen? The most expensive attitude. Man, as parents, you know, when we gotta go through times with our children, when they're doing things that we think they're not, it's not right, you know. I always waited until my mom will say the third time or fourth time. And that third or fourth time, back in our culture, it will come with something physical flying. It will be with a hand or with a belt, because that was the way. And it's hard being a parent sometimes. You're going through stuff. Maybe you're going through financial things. You're going through different things in your life. But we got to give our best attitude, our best perfume when all these things happen. What do we do first? Do we go to God or we just deal with it? We got to show love to our children at all times. I know it's not easy. I know it's not easy. Now I'm understanding what my dad used to say to me. Oh, one day you're going to be a dad and you will understand. You know? Amen. My dad is coming and I'm going to tell him. I remember now. Now I understand that. You know, it's hard. With our families, you know. Sometimes there's stuff going on within our families and we don't talk to each other sometimes. We don't deal with those things. We're expecting for all this to come to us and say, hey, I'm sorry I said that, you know. I forgot the meal. I was late or whatever. And that can cause the third world, you know, the third war in our family. But we got to show this love. We got to show the best attitude. We gotta show this worship so others can glorify God as well. Jesus deserves our best perfume, the most expensive attitude, our best behavior, the best of our lives, the best and unique worship. We're going to sing a song to end, to conclude this time. And I want you to just think about, what am I doing? Am I showing Jesus' love to the one that I should be able? What we were talking about in the last months, about being good neighbors, right? And sometimes our neighbors can be our wives. You know? Our children. And we forget about those persons that are really, really close to us, that they get sometimes the worst, or we give the worst of us. You know? Oh, this person cut me off in the highway. I almost, blah, blah. And you're going, oh, yeah, yeah. You know, you hear all these things. Is Jesus worth it? Is Jesus our priority? Is Jesus the center of our worship in our daily lives? So we're going to sing this song together. If you know it, please sing with us. It's called Jesus at the Center. Jesus at the center of it all. And Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be. It's always been you, Jesus. Jesus. Jesus at the center.
Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all.
From beginning
to the end, speak.